like him yet?
No, but then how come you haven't been? How come you haven't been here? And how come you have not supported the 300 parents who have been protesting here for the last 4 weeks? Where have you been?
I don't agree with the protests.
No, so what you?
I don't agree. But you, as a member, get to pick and choose. No, but as a member of part. No, but as a member of part. You can and can't have. I'm afraid.
Okay, you have your say.
Our equality laws protect us all. Okay. I want them to protect you. Okay. And actually, I want to protect the Muslim community,
can
which
you
is getting
now?
A terror.
Can I talk now?
Well,
can
I talk now? Right now. I want our Muslim community to be completely protected. And I think what is happening here, the worst thing about it, is that it's damaging the reputation of a peaceful and loving community that I have lived in my entire life.
So why on Saturday? Why on Saturday? With all due respect, with all due respect,
with all due respect, children.
There's 600 children who have withdrawn. There are 600 children who have not turned up at school today.
Hello again, folks. So a few people asked us if I was going to be doing a sort of final wrap-up on Game of Thrones, and I'm not. I'm sort of, the little time that I've got, I'm kind of looking at the war which has broken out over it, and everybody's shooting it down. And it's part of this microcosm of the culture war in general, to do with geek and nerd culture, where we can see what's actually going on in politics, and is then represented in these geek cultures, and we see the same thing playing out again and again, where, and it comes down to a narrative which is being handed to the masses, the nerds in this case, and they're rejecting it, and it's the same sort of centrifugal political and social problems that are popping up in these fandoms, as they call it. The Star Wars and the Last Jedi was the most famous one, but you can see there in a microcosm of the wider war, that's the wider problems playing out in the West in these little nerd cultures, which is why it's interesting to take a look at, because what happens is a narrative is then handed to them, whether it's Game of Thrones or the Marvel stuff, which I don't really pay any attention to, or the Star Wars stuff. And then what happens is the fandom breaks in half, and half of the fandom tries to point out to the other half of the fandom that they're being sold a load of shoddy goods. And you get this sort of, this is the tension which leads to the wider problem, and breaks it all up. And the what we can call the dissidents of those mainly on YouTube with huge audiences, like massive audiences. And then you have the sort of the loyalists. And the loyalists are trying to hold the line. They're in league with sort of, and they all tend to be soy boys and social justice warriors. And once again, they're in cahoots with the studios, and they're trying to sort of defend the narrative, defend the official version, the what's coming from the elites, let's say. And then you have the more dissident-minded people trying to point out that all the flaws in it. And it fascinates me how similar it is, because how much, and you wonder how can somebody actually defend the Last Jedi? And they don't like the idea of being, that they're being conned, really. And it speaks directly to what's going on in the political world, of course. When, how many times have you tried to argue with a lefty that their narrative is false, their narrative is wrong, and they try and hold the line? It's people arguing over and then trying to defend a narrative that few people just can't believe in anymore. And then you have the defenders of the narrative, the people who bend over backwards to produce arguments in defense of rubbish. People will say that they're stupid, but it actually takes a massive amount of intelligence and effort to delude yourself and trick yourself like that. The fact is, people would rather believe in a comfortable lie than an uncomfortable truth. And actually, that's one of the arguments people loyal to the studios and the SJW movies point out. It isn't about logic, it's about feelings. And one of the big popular critics called Mahler, he was accused of making the world worse, a worse place by pointing out plot holes and ruining people's enjoyment of entertainment. But the sum total of the experience should be primarily emotional, according to this argument. But Mahler responds by pointing out that it's precisely because he understands the technical and narrative faults that he can't invest emotionally in the movie. Intellectual consistency is lacking, so the loyalist has to invent that as well. The way they get around this is to bury themselves in the details of individual cases and not in any form of pattern recognition. In the case of nerd culture and fantasy and science fiction, people will go back and study the lore to try and justify why a 16-year-old girl with a knife can kill an ice demon, when common sense tells it that even within the context of that happening, it's ridiculous. It didn't make any sense. But then, like, using all of their brain power, they can go back and sort of make this ridiculously convoluted argument as to why that makes sense. And you know, let's take the case of Jess Phillips with the Muslim man. This is a playing out in the real world. You see the way these things intersect. Muslims just don't want the left to indoctrinate their kids with the LGBT agenda. So now the progressive stack has two of their own victim groups at each other's throats, but the wider narrative can't be questioned. So what do the left do? Well, they zoom in on that one man. This isn't a trend or a pattern. This is just one man. It's not that their whole narrative is riddled with plot holes. It's just one of those things. He's just a one-off bigot. Muslims love the LGBT agenda being taught to their kids, really, because they understand that they're part of the wider push to have a progressive, forward-looking Britain. It'll be fine. In the same way, it's not that Game of Thrones was badly written, it's that Arya's knife was once owned by a sorcerer who was sort of hinted at in season 2 and features in two lines of the third book. Don't worry about it, it's fine, just enjoy the wider narrative. Get swept along in it. And the inconsistencies and the paradoxes within the narrative become something to be intellectualised. But those of us on the outside can never be invested in the narrative again because it's broken. Because as Mahler says, the logical inconsistencies mean I have no emotional investment in it, except extreme contempt. And if diversity is such a strength, why does the Eiffel Tower have chicken wire around it now? It's a simple question with a simple answer. But to make a counter-argument requires both abject denial and a massive amount of effort. And I like to see them coming up with all of these ridiculously convoluted excuses as to tell us why 2 + 2 = 5. I mean, there's the root of diversity is divide, and diversity is our strength. Now, since when did dividing something or breaking something apart result in that thing becoming stronger? And there's intellectuals and academics across the West who, without a hint of irony, believe that breaking a solid thing into smaller things will result in it becoming stronger. I suppose it does if you belong to a group with an interest in destroying the thing, but to the average lefty guy, it's an intellectual challenge. And we see that in the pop culture as well. In order to explain that out of a way, you have to put a huge amount of effort into explaining rubbish to try and intellectualise it. I'm recording this on the day of Manchester Arena, 2 years since Manchester Arena bombing, and people still believe in the diversity and multiculturalism project. There are people right now complaining about Islamophobia while Lee Rigby and Manchester Arena trend on Twitter. It's not just that they're stupid, it's that they've found a way to intellectualise it. Only really smart people can convince themselves of this rubbish. Only really smart people can have this level of cognitive dissonance where they can convince themselves of the most outlandish, ridiculous garbage. And it takes a huge amount of brain power and effort to take a look at Britain now and think everything's fine. especially when your core value is diversity, which is breaking something apart. You said, well, diversity is a strength, but diversity literally means breaking something apart. And then after that thing is broken apart, they run around complaining that society is divided. It's preposterous. In the Soviet Union, people would ask, if we're living in the workers' paradise, why do we have walls to prevent the workers from leaving? And so either the Soviet Union isn't a workers' paradise, the obvious but a deeply problematic one, or it is a workers' paradise and the walls and machine gun turrets can be explained some other way. And it's going to take some brains and effort to find a way to explain that. But to a degree, they did. In fact, it takes a lot more brains and effort to defend insanity than to notice it in the first place. And eventually you reach the point where it simply can't be done anymore. And all you're left with is a brittle tyranny. I'll see you later, folks.